This is Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily with Andrew Hustler Patterson and Michael Remus.
Hey, folks, Winnipeg sports fans. Unfortunately, no Andrew Patterson today. It's me. I'm back. Matt Leibel. Remember me? I used to be on the radio once upon a time. It's true. I didn't disappear. I have returned, and I am thrilled to be guest hosting today along with Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily CTO, Michael the Hammer Remus. We'll tell you about that nickname a little bit later in the show. Anyway, I'm coming to you live from my brother-in-law's home office in Cambridge, Ontario, where I did not think I would be when I agreed to do this. I knew I was in Ontario, but anyway, I'm on a little bit of a vacation here, a family trip with my wife, Heather, and my two kids. I have two sons now, Hugo and Felix, who are 2.5 and 6 months, respectively. And we're on a little trip. It'd been almost 2 years since we'd seen all of Heather's family. And so we made our way to Ontario. We've been here for pretty much all of July. And Hustler reached out to me and said he was going to be up at Aikens Lake. And would I jump in and fill in on the show, which I listen to all the time, usually on the podcast. Can't usually get to YouTube around this time, 1 o'clock back home. But I said, sure, this will be great. And then thanks to the brilliant genius of Michael Remus, here we are broadcasting live. So what I did was, there's no pictures. So I grabbed my brother-in-law's poster of the Jose Bautista bat flip. You see that there? And I stuck it on the bed that I've been sleeping in to try and add a little bit of sports color to this little situation. I don't have the setup like Michael Remus does in his basement, where he squats on the floor, Karate Kid style, cross-legged, in front of jerseys and everything like that. We'll get Remus in here in a second. Just want to say that I'm thrilled to be back. And just because I left TSN, you can believe it, almost 5 years ago, doesn't mean that I've stopped watching sports. I still watch a ton of sports. I'm still a huge sports fan. I try to keep up on everything, including the big news that we're going to get to, and really going to dominate this show. We are getting so close to another NHL expansion draft. Wednesday night, the Seattle Kraken are going to go cracking through the league and disrupting some rosters and pulling some players off teams. And of course, we'll talk about how that's going to impact our Winnipeg Jets. The big story over the weekend is all the teams released their protected and unprotected lists. Well, I guess they released the protected lists, and then we have to figure out everybody else is on the unprotected list. You know what I'm saying? The big news, Dylan DeMello exposed. Logan Stanley protected. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. I'm thrilled to chat with him. I've never interviewed Mike. In fact, Mike kind of got into the sports scene in Winnipeg just as I was getting out. So this is going to be really exciting to chat with him. He's got an article about this decision and the reaction and whether this is a good move for Chevy or a bad move for Chevy. And we'll talk with Mike coming up. And as well, we've got Jonathan Davis, who was a regular guest back when I was on the Big Show with Troy Westwood and Brandon Rewicki, whom I know you, Brandon, filled in on Friday. So you got a little Big Show back-to-back kind of coming out of the weekend. And we'll touch on a few other non-hockey stories. You know, there's a little baseball going on. There's, of course, the NBA Finals could wrap up tonight. I know not typically what we talk about, but maybe there's a few fans out there and we can squeeze it in before the end of the show. And Michael Remus, the reason we call him the Hammer is because that is what he does, the Andrew Hustler Patterson, when it comes to bets, Assiniboia Downs, all that betting, like especially the ponies. Remus has been hammering Hustler into the ground, and that's why we've given him that nickname, the Hammer, today. So just want to make sure I still know how to do this. A big thank you to all of our Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily sponsors. The sponsor family makes it possible. Royal Sports, Nicky Nicky DQ Group, Boston Pizza, Not AutoCorp, the original sponsor who jumped on right at the beginning, Little Brown Jug, Breezy Bend, Assiniboia Downs, we were talking about them, Aikens Lake Wilderness Lodge, which is where Hustler is up doing a little fishing, hopefully staying out of any forest fire trouble, and Cool Bet Canada. So thank you to all of the sponsors. We'll tell you a little bit more about the sponsors, but let's get Remus in here, the CTO, the Hammer. Michael, how do you feel about this nickname that I have bestowed upon you today?
It's okay. It's nothing crazy, but welcome. Nice to see you here. You have to put that Jose Bautista bat flip poster up behind you. I told you yesterday when we tested, I'm like, it looks like you're in like a hostage video. I know you're not exactly in your home office. You're on vacation. So thank you for making time to step in here. This should be fun.
Are you kidding? I am thrilled to be back. I know that there's a lot of people watching right now live on YouTube, and we'll see some of those chat comments and try and work them into our show as we go. Thanks to everybody saying hi. I try not to get too distracted by the YouTube chats, but sometimes it happens.
Yes.
And if you're following, there's a poll that that the Hammer has put up there. Speaking of the expansion draft, who do we think the Jets are going to lose between Mason Appleton, Dylan DeMello, or somebody else?
Yeah, I was a fun day for me yesterday waking up, and you know, the expansion lists were released to all the teams at 9 a.m. Central Time. So right after that, all the hockey insiders slowly tweeting on, I think like an hour or an hour and a half later, by like 10 or 10:30, NHL just came out with a list entirely. But I was loving keeping the list. This is so, you know, as much as it sucks that your favorite team has to lose a player for nothing. This, you know, we saw this maneuvering on Friday, Ryan Graves being dealt, Toronto's making moves, getting Jared McCann. Teams are, you know, Andrew Ladd, former Jets captain, got basically his contract got given away with picks to Arizona for, I don't think there was anything. I think they just gave, literally bag of pucks, they just gave away Andrew Ladd's contract.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. I mean, I was still on the air, but do you remember when there was that debate between Ladd and Byfuglien?
Yes.
Who the Jets were going to keep? Now, I know how the Byfuglien thing ended up playing out, and no one really could have seen that coming, at least as fans. Maybe someone on the inside had a sense, but the way that story went down, no one had a sense that Byfuglien was going to do what he did. But just to think back, like, imagine if the Jets have chosen Ladd. Like, forget about the 2018 conference finals. Mm-hmm. Forget about any of the playoff runs in the last couple of years. I do not think this team would be where it is. And sometimes those things work out, you know, because what I was hearing at that time, I think you were hearing it too, Remus, was that the Jets were leaning towards Ladd. And we were all like, no, no, get out of here. No Ladd. Byfuglien all the way. And this is one of the things that, like, I want to ask you about, like, Cheveldayoff, right? Like, he's taken some heat right now from people because of the whole protecting Logan Stanley, exposing Dylan DeMello. We'll ask Mike McIntyre about this. We'll ask Jonathan Davis. But, like, I'll tell you right off the bat, Remus, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, Dylan DeMello is a nice player. No disrespect to Dylan DeMello whatsoever. And, yes, the Jets need defensemen. That is of the three areas, goaltender, offense, defense. Everyone knows defense is where they need the most work. But Dylan DeMello isn't the difference between a Stanley Cup run and a not a Stanley Cup run in the next couple of, in the next season, for sure, maybe even beyond that, as far as I can tell. And Logan Stanley, I mean, the ceiling, who knows what the ceiling is with Dylan DeMello? You know what he is. He's a good, solid player. Losing him would be too bad. But Logan Stanley, what if he turns into, I mean, everyone always wants to throw this Zdeno Chara comparison just because of the hype, but I don't think that's the way he plays necessarily, but he could end up becoming, I mean, he showed. And I'm not talking about the goals in the playoffs. I'm not going to expect him to be scoring big time goals. I want the goals to come from the offensive players. But man, Logan Stanley, I think there's a lot of potential there. And I'm not surprised at all that the Jets would protect him as a first round pick, former first round pick who just had his first season. But it's again the whole Cheveldayoff taking a lot of heat. And I wanted to ask you, Remus, like, how do you feel about this move?
Yeah, we've been talking about this. I thought, look, you know, Logan Stanley, it seems like they are in love with the guy. The opportunity cost that they've given up to, you know, to select him, I think is big. You traded two first-round picks to move up for him, maybe pick him higher than projected. Now you could potentially lose Dylan DeMello in order to keep him. Logan Stanley last year, Matt, he played third line, very sheltered minutes, you know, third line defense pair. Dylan DeMello, it's proven that when he plays with someone, he makes that person better. Case in point, Josh Morrissey playing first line minutes, shutting down McDavid and Dreisaitl. This is a team that, look, very thin on defense, and you have a guy who picked the Jets as a free agent, signed a 3-year contract, you know, just over $3 million, and you need this guy on your team. So if he were to lose DeMello, I think that would be a big fail. However, I'm not going to, like, I know I see a lot of people very mad online about this. And I think, you know, maybe it is disappointing if you think, okay, this is how the Jets are valuing their players. But let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what the plan is. Because if they lose DeMello and don't replace him, yeah, then that is a big fail, I think. But, you know, are they rumored in to get Adam Larson? Well, you know, he's looking, you know, I saw stuff coming out from Edmonton this past weekend that he may not re-sign with the Oilers. It's like 50-50 chance there. Jamie Oleksiak, you know, another big defenseman. The Jets were rumored to get in him, to get, you know, inquiring about him at the deadline. So before, you know, you're go up in arms and start, you know, getting really mad online, I think maybe get be a little upset right now, but wait and see what happens and how the Jets defense looks before you get angry. Anyways, I mean, it could all be a moot point. I was listening to Frank Saravalli's DFO Hockey Rundown podcast with Jason Greger. You know, very good. They did a mock draft, and Frank's like, this isn't what I think. This is what I'm projecting based on my conversations with NHL front office members. And Frank said, from what he's hearing, he called Mason Appleton a slam dunk pick. His contract, he's a younger player. Sorry, he's got, his contract is $900,000. RFA, you know, after this season, you know, he had a breakout year. He could slot. He's like, look, slot him in. You get 15 goals from this guy. Played the penalty kill. He's a big guy. Can go hard to the net. You know, maybe Appleton's the pick all along, and the Stanley DeMello debate is nothing. But I think it's definitely interesting, and I think it maybe tells people how the Jets evaluate their players. And I think if you're big into the analytics, and Dylan DeMello's are very good, I think you are maybe a bit disappointed that they would select a third pair D over a first pair D. Or sorry, to protect a third pair over
right,
a first
right. pair. The first thing I wanted to say is, Remus, telling people not to get over-fired up online is like telling a squirrel not to chase nuts. This is what people do. They log on to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the things that I'm not on, and they lose their minds about little tiny things. Sometimes they're actual worthwhile causes out there, don't get me wrong. But yeah, that's, if you want to find people overreacting to stories, that's where you go. So yeah, I don't take the kind of the Twitter community. Well, I always take them with a grain of salt. That's the first
thing.
You're
not even on Twitter anymore, for the record.
The minute I left the radio, I was gone. I've never been on Facebook, and I'm not on Instagram. Am I missing out?
Yes.
I haven't had any evidence that says that I'm missing out.
Yes. Well, people got to follow you, Huss. They got to be able to reach you. Or not Huss. Matt, I think we did that on the radio. I think this happened on the radio where we did it together, and I kept calling you Huss, and then you started laughing. And then you started laughing.
Reem, no, I'm not a social media guy. It's not for me. It's for some other people. And if you use it in moderation, like anything in life, I think you're fine. I just see a lot of people overusing it and a lot of people kind of going crazy. Like you said, yeah, the DeMello versus Stanley debate, I mean, it's a nice thing. But when the Jets traded Patrick Laine, that was a big player. That was something to get fired up about. But, and I like Mason Appleton a lot. I actually think he's been a really surprisingly wonderful late round draft pick who I think has some potential to get even better. He's incredible speed. He finds the net. He plays hard 200 feet all the time. And Dylan DeMello is solid too as well. But I don't know. This is not the sort of thing that I'm going to go crazy about. But I did kind of think about the fact that it's been 10 years since this franchise came back. I think we have a decade now of which to evaluate Kevin Cheveldayoff. And if people want to turn their comments about Stanley being protected and DeMello being left off into a, you know, a broader conversation about evaluating Cheveldayoff now that we have this huge sample size, I'm for that. I'll have that conversation. I'll have that debate. And maybe we'll get into it. And some people are asking on the chat about some of the other stories relating to the Seattle Kraken and the expansion draft. And we're going to get into all that, too, because there are some names out there. Never mind the Winnipeg connection. Of course, we're very concerned about the Winnipeg connection. But there's a chance that a couple of really, really big name players could be joining Seattle. And this team could be lights out of the gate. I'm talking about Carey Price, left unprotected by the Montreal Canadiens. Gabriel Landeskog, who's an unrestricted free agent, so it's a little bit different, looking for a lot of money, but leaving Colorado, the only team that he's ever been with. He's the captain of the Avalanche. Vladimir Tarasenko, who's had, I think, two or three shoulder surgeries in the last couple of years, but hey, Jets fans know the guy is a sniper, and a change of scenery might be the sort of thing that gets him going too. I mean, that's just three names off the top right there who could all be in a Seattle Kraken uniform by Wednesday night. So there's a lot to talk about with the rest of the league and how the Kraken are really going to shake things up and who's going to build their roster. Do you have any thoughts, Reem, on on any of these other guys. I mean, as for the price story, there's also another story out there today, Elliot Friedman doing a little reporting that's similar to Shea Weber. The Canadians are announcing that Price has such significant injuries that he may miss next season altogether. And I can't help, the last thing I'll tell you, I can't help but feel that there are so many backroom deals, whether it's legit or not legit. Like for Mark Bergevin to leave Carey Price unprotected, it tells me that there's been some kind of phone call between Ron Francis and Mark Bergevin, or there's something going on that, where Carey Price isn't going to actually get taken, because I don't know. I just can't see the Canadiens fan base accepting that they went to the Stanley Cup final and now they're just going to let Carey Price go and be the face of the Seattle franchise. So there's a lot in play, and I want to know what your take is on some of these other names outside of the Jets available to Seattle.
Yeah, Carey Price, 34 years old. He's making $10 million a year for the next, like, what, five seasons? That's a lot of money to a guy who's on the wrong side of 30, Matt. So I know he was, look, during the regular season, he has been kind of average, but I mean, his playoffs showed you his ceiling, what it can be. And he carried that team to the Cup final, and he was absolutely incredible. And we definitely saw it firsthand. I did put out a poll in the chat. Will they select Carey Price? And after 45 votes, no is leading 58-42. So I think this is pretty even. And I agree. I mean, I think his wife's from the Washington area. He has ties from BC, you know, a Pacific Coast guy. And the big question for me is, which of these players would be the face of the franchise the way Marc-Andre Fleury was the face of Vegas? I think I've seen tweets from Frank Saravalli saying Carey Price ownership wants and thinks he could be that. But if you're a hockey operations, I think we'd be doing Montreal a big favor to get out of that contract. You went to your playoff run. However, it is kind of funny that they leave him exposed. And then all of a sudden, you know, these rumors come out. Carey Price, he's got an injury. He's like, Seattle, he's got an injury. You don't want to take him. He's going to need surgery. He's not going to play next year. No, you don't want him. And Shea Weber, he's thinking about going on an LTIR, Seattle. Don't take this guy. He's our captain. He's hurt. So I mean, I don't know if they're playing games or it's legitimate after a deep playoff run. I know Dallas, after their trip to the Cup final last year, like Tyler Seguin, he needed a bunch of surgeries as well. So I mean, this isn't a new thing, you know, with teams making deep playoff runs. But in the context of the expansion draft, I find it funny. So you know, if you're a team and you want someone, you know, player not to get selected, just put a say, hey, you know what? This guy's actually injured. He's getting a big surgery coming up. So I'm on the vote no for Carey Price. I don't think the contract is worth it. I think there's other goalies. Chris Driedger is a UFA. Seems like they're going to be going after him from Florida. But Tarasenko, I know he's had surgeries. It's not a crazy term. 2 years, $7.5 million for an elite scorer. If you can get assurance that his shoulders are okay, that is a guy I would take a chance on, Tarasenko. And maybe we can put up a poll for that.
I agree with you on that, Remus. I think that Tarasenko, he's really intrigued. I just don't know. And I think some people in the chat are noticing too with Price. I mean, yeah, you'll get a natural face to your franchise to start off, but is the cost worth it, right? And especially the back end. Hey, remember, it wasn't that long ago. Remember when the Wild went out and signed Zach Parise and Ryan Suter to 45-year deals for $1,000 bazillion? Oh, yeah, let's not worry about the back end of those deals, right? Yeah, well, they just had to buy out both of those guys at the end of those deals after no cups, no cup finals, no even conference finals, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, the long-term deals, I think people are starting to see, not just in hockey, but in all sports, the end of those deals can really, really sour it, unless, of course, you went at the front of the deal. Lots of stuff. We're going to talk more about this with Mike McIntyre from the Free Press. He's coming in. I just want to tell you a little bit about some of our sponsors here at Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. And remember, Hustler will be back tomorrow. I'm Matt Leibel, the sports rabbi, formerly of TSN 1290, The Big Show, coming in as your guest host today. Honored and thrilled to be here. Winnipeg Sports Talk is brought to you by Royal Sports, Winnipeg's original sports superstore, featuring the city's biggest selection. There you see the picture right there for our online viewers or YouTube viewers. The biggest city's biggest selection of licensed merch, hockey, soccer, and baseball gear, along with fitness, camping equipment, bikes, and so much more. Royal Sports, at 650 Rally in EK and the flagship store, 750 Pembina Highway. I've been away. I've been on vacation. I'm in Ontario where the weather is not, it's nice, but it's nothing like back home. I hear it's just been a scorcher. And you know, hot weather, you got to get some ice cream to deal with it. Nick and Nikki DQ Group have four locations in Winnipeg. DQ Northgate, Niverville, Polo Park, and St. Anne's Road. Stop by for a blizzard or a burger today and be the hero at your next gathering by bringing a famous DQ ice cream cake, which you can order. You can order all those cakes on Instagram at DQ Manitoba. And finally, big thank you to our another one of our sponsors, Boston Pizza. The BP lounges and restaurants are now open as it is patio season with all the great hot weather. Try the new honey dill fried chicken sandwich or burger Italiano and new summer cocktails, including the Bulldog Margarita Fishbowl, White Sangria Smash, and Peachy Mojito Royale. Try them tonight at your neighborhood Boston Pizza. Oh, the drinks. I should have poured a nice tall mojito or something like that. My brother-in-law was, he's quite good in the kitchen. He was cooking up some stuff, some pizzas on his Kamado Joe last night himself. It's pretty good. Maybe see if he wants to try his hand at a Bulldog Margarita Fishbowl. But that's for later on. For now, we are thrilled to be joined with Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. This is very exciting for me, Mike. How are you doing?
Welcome back.
Well, good, thank you. You know, I was telling Remus, like, this is kind of funny, me interviewing you, filling in for Hustler here. You and I have never actually met.
No.
We've never been introduced. We know who each other is. I mean, I was on the radio for a number of years, and you listen. I used to read you when you were a crime reporter. Yes. In the Free Press. And then I feel like we were like, what's the expression? Ships in the night. Like, you came into the sports scene as I kind of lifted myself out and went the synagogue route. You know, the typical leave the morning show, become a rabbi sort of thing, right? And yeah. So here, Mike, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you in this very strange forum. It's kind of fitting, I guess, for the strange year here in the pandemic that we would meet for the first time face-to-face anyways, via an online connection. But yeah, great to be here. Great to talk some hockey, and obviously a very interesting and newsworthy few days and few weeks coming up here, especially as it pertains to the Winnipeg Jets.
So I want to get to your article in a second. When did you, just for me and maybe some, especially for me, when did you start following the Jets? When did you end up on that beat? How long have you been doing this for?
Yeah, so this will be I've done four full seasons now with the Jets. So starting in the 2017 season, 2018, 2019, and 2020. So we'll be coming up on year five for me. Dabbled a little bit in the 2016 year, which is the year that I actually moved over to the sports department from the crime department. So yeah, I had a couple of very interesting years, of course. The Jets making that big run to the Western Conference Final in 2018. And I actually got my feet wet in sports covering the Goldeyes and back-to-back American Association championships. I'm not going to take all the credit for that, Matt, but I think I deserve at least a little bit, right? I mean, I burst onto the Goldeyes scene, and they win in 2016 and again in 2017. So yeah, I got to cover a Grey Cup championship, which seems like 10 years ago now, but I was in Calgary there in 2019. So kind of a good time to be on the Winnipeg sports scene, you know, two Goldeyes championships, a Bomber Grey Cup championship, and the Jets making it at least to the Final Four, all within my first few years of being on the sports scene. So not sure what the future has in store as it pertains to our local teams and athletes. I am actually covering the Winter Olympics in Beijing. I'll be there, which I'm very excited about. I've never been to an Olympics. That's kind of a bucket list thing for me. So waiting to hear, of course, if NHL involvement will be happening. It sounds like that's going to be the case. And I was going regardless, but it will be really nice if I get to cover some NHL involvement in the hockey event next winter. And of course, there could be a few Winnipeg Jets competing in the Olympics as well.
Yeah, and crazy to think that the Tokyo Olympics, which, by the way, I have this, I'm sure it's because they printed all the merchandise, but the fact that they're still calling it Tokyo 2020, like they called it Euro 2020, right, just makes me lose my mind. Like every time I see an ad, I'm just like, oh, the Olympics are coming. 2020? Oh, come on. You see, you think you were the good luck charm for all these sports teams, but you don't realize that I left the radio in the sports scene in September 2016, and that's when all these teams started winning. It was me leaving.
Right.
It was addition by subtraction. That's why all these teams.
You were the dark cloud of gloom and doom, apparently, that was hovering over all these teams. So the curse so was lifted, which is good news. But never a dull moment, of course, when it comes to the local hockey team. I mean, it really has become a 12-month-a-year beat, especially the last couple of years when they literally have been playing kind of all 12 months of the year because of the pandemic. But I'm curious to see, you know, as we sit here today and we look at what the Winnipeg Jets roster looks like today, could be a very different looking roster in about 10 days from now once we get through expansion draft, the entry draft, of course, although those players won't have any impact here in the immediate future. But and then, of course, free agency next week and what look to be some significant holes that the Jets will have to fill. And I guess we'll find out a little more on Wednesday night whether it's a hole up front in the form of Mason Appleton, or a hole on the blue line in the form of Dylan DeMello, or maybe there'll be a surprise twist. But it seems like Appleton or DeMello are the two kind of leading candidates, that one of those guys will not be a Winnipeg Jet in just over 48 hours from now.
Okay, so yeah, let's get right to it. You've got this article that came out, the protected lists came out over the weekend, and you wrote about it, and people can check out Mike McIntyre's story on the Jets' decision to leave Dylan DeMello unprotected as a solid, more veteran defenseman while protecting their rookie defenseman and former first-round pick, Logan Stanley. So take us through what you kind of perceive. I mean, you might write about the reaction. Remus and I were talking about it feeling like a bit of an overreaction, all these people, but take us through the reaction and what you've heard and how you feel about this decision that DeMello could be gone.
Well, look, recognizing that there will be people out there that don't see this the same way that I'm about to explain it, I guess that's why a lot of folks aren't managing NHL hockey teams. I think the Jets, I mean, any team, any general manager would have a good sense, I think, of the value that their own players would have to other teams and, you know, the value that other players in the league have. And so my personal thought, Matt, is this, that the Jets clearly thought that if they left Logan Stanley unprotected, that Logan Stanley was going to get picked by Seattle. And I truly believe, again, I realize there are people who won't see it this way and they'll disagree with this, but I truly believe the Jets thought that by protecting Stanley and exposing DeMello, that actually increases the chances of keeping all of their defensemen. Because I do think, and I saw a Frank Cervelli reported just in the last hour, that he's getting a sense that Mason Appleton is the target, the Appleton of the eyes, if you will, of the Kraken.
Ooh.
Apologies for that, guys. Sorry.
Ooh.
I'm here all week.
Yeah.
but that it will be Mason Appleton. And I just think if the choice was Appleton versus Stanley, to me, I think Logan Stanley is who Seattle would have picked. If it's Appleton versus DeMello, I think there's a good chance it is going to be Mason Appleton. And, you know, to me, that's probably what the Jets want. I mean, look, they don't want to lose anybody, obviously, but I think they're better equipped to handle a Mason Appleton being the player that gets picked than they are, say, a Logan Stanley or a Dylan DeMello. When you look at the Winnipeg Jets, what is their strength right now? And I'm not talking about the prospect pool, where I would argue that the defenseman is where the Jets have the brightest prospects right now. Cole Perfetti and David Gustafson aside, that's where Dylan Sandberg and Ville Heinola reside. And there's some other guys that had really nice seasons with the Moose as well. But the current makeup of the Jets, clearly there are holes on the blue line that need to be fixed. And they also have a bit of a wealth of forwards, a surplus, if you will. So if it's Mason Appleton who gets selected, and I do think there's a greater chance that it is going to be Mason Appleton, that allows them to not lose any defenseman in the expansion draft, which I think is the way they would have wanted it. Again, had they exposed Logan Stanley, I think there's a very good chance that the Seattle Kraken would have seen a guy that was a first-round draft pick 5 years ago, who's coming off a bit of an eye-opening rookie season. Yes, he played in a sheltered role, but he's still just 23. He's got some intangibles that are difficult to find. Clearly the size, you know, the physical element that he brings. And I just think the Jets looked at Logan Stanley and thought, we see a ceiling here that has yet to be reached. We see a whole bunch of upside. We also see a guy that's 5 years younger than Dylan DeMello. That's also, as we sit here today, more than $2 million cheaper than Dylan DeMello. And if the Jets are going to make a run in free agency or trades this summer to address their blue line, which Kevin Cheveldayoff ought to be looking at that as priority number one, I think the Jets could use every dollar they can save to maybe take a run. I'm not saying they get a Dougie Hamilton here in Winnipeg, but money and in a flat cap, cap space is very valuable, right? So I think it's hard to judge all of this in a vacuum as we sit here today, because we have to see what the rest of the moves are, both on Wednesday night and then in free agency. But I just think that was the logic of the Jets, that, you know, at the end of the day, they knew they were losing a player. They know they're losing a player. And if they had to pick who that player would be, I think Mason Appleton above Logan Stanley or Dylan DeMello would be the one. And the idea of protecting Stanley, I think, increases the odds that it's Mason Appleton who gets picked and not a defenseman.
Yeah, especially after what Frank Cervelli put out there. And you got to remember, right? I'll remind people, like, reporters with national kind of beats like that, that's not Frank just thinking off the top of his head. He's probably got some really good information at Appleton. And we're going to try and ignore your pun there.
I reserve the right to use that in a story later this week, by the way.
To quote you back at you, though, that would be a fireable offense. So I want to just make sure that you know about that. But I wanted to ask you about Cheveldayoff. You know, when I was on the air, which was ended 5 years ago, you know, a lot of people wanted to harp on every move that Chevy made. I mean, he's the GM of the hockey team, of course. But it's been 10 years. It's been a full decade with this guy as the architect from day one, right? Now, I know you haven't been covering the team for that entire time, but you've covered the team for four full seasons, like you said, going into your fifth. You've been around. You watch the team. You're a Winnipegger. What do we think of Kevin Cheveldayoff now that we're evaluating 10 years of him as the general manager? Are the Jets, they've been to one conference finals that they lost in five. They keep making the playoffs, but getting bounced pretty early. This year, huge first round win, terrible second round sweep. Chevy, are we pro-Chevy? Are we anti-Chevy if we're Mike McIntyre?
You know, I think, Matt, the seat is getting warm. I won't say it's nuclear hot, but it's got to be getting warm if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff. Because let's face it, this is a results-oriented business. It's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. And as you point out, aside from that magical run in the spring of 2018, the Jets haven't done a whole lot, you know, where it really matters. I mean, yeah, there's been some impressive wins in the regular season, and they've had sort of spurts here and there. And of course, that victory over Edmonton, that four-game sweep, you know, Connor Hellebuyck played a big role in that. But let's not forget who drafted Connor Hellebuyck. That was Kevin Cheveldayoff. And who got Connor Hellebuyck to sign a long-term extension, right? So, I mean, if you're going to go through the pros and cons of Kevin Cheveldayoff, certainly you look at what this team has done on the draft and development side, which has been their bread and butter from day one. This is a Jets team, unlike a lot of teams in the league, that isn't a prize destination for free agents. They haven't made a whole ton of blockbuster trades. There's been a few for sure. Pierre-Luc Dubois would be the most recent, and the jury very much is still out on all of that. But they are a team that has built kind of from the ground up. And I don't think, even if you're a critic of Kevin Cheveldayoff, I think you'd be fooling yourself to suggest he hasn't done some terrific things in getting this Jets team where they are, in retaining a lot of these guys that they drafted, you know, locking up the core. And now, though, I think the pressure is very much back on him again, because that core is not getting any younger. Your goaltender is a perennial Vezina, you know, finalist, nominee kind of thing, and a winner a year ago. And the time to win is now. The Jets are not in a rebuild. this should be a retool. And the blue line, I think, which, you know, sure, they made some additions last offseason, but clearly it wasn't good enough to get the job done. And I think the pressure is on Kevin Cheveldayoff here as he enters what will be year 11 to make the necessary changes one way or the other, free agency trades, whether it means moving a significant piece of the core. The Jets have to address their blue line. Otherwise, they're wasting prime years, right, of a lot of these guys. And, you know, this is a team. Look at the captain, Blake Wheeler. Like, Cheveldayoff has talked about the promise he made to Blake Wheeler when he re-upped, that they would do everything possible year after year to keep the window open during Blake Wheeler's the rest of his contract. Well, that puts a lot of pressure on Kevin Cheveldayoff this offseason. And so, you know, I'm very interested to see how these next couple weeks play out. Because I think there is some additional pressure. I'm not saying that his job is on the line if the Jets, you know, get off to a tough start. But I do think the spotlight is growing brighter here with each passing year. A decade is a long time for a general manager in the NHL. They already have the second most tenured head coach behind John Cooper, that guy that just won his second straight Stanley Cup. So I think there is growing pressure on not just Cheveldayoff, but really the entire management and coaching staff.
Mike McIntyre is our guest for all the folks who are listening on the podcast. He's a Jets reporter with the Winnipeg Free Press. I'm Matt Leibel in for Hustler today. One more Jets question that I want to ask you about Seattle.
Yeah.
With all the talk on Stanley and DeMello and Appleton, a couple people in the chat noticed this. And by the way, shout out to the people in the chat. I do agree. It's very tough to hold Chevy responsible for that whole Buff debacle. And that definitely.
Sure.
Like, change their plans, right? So I think that's worth saying. But Andrew Kopp, all year long, I'll be the first to admit, I've been hard on Kopp as a Jets fan. I've always wanted a little bit more out of him, a little more hands, a little more scoring touch. He found the back of the net in a lot of interesting ways this year, a lot of empty net goals. His stats are, I would argue, a little bit padded, but he also mixes it up and is a 200-foot player and has continued to improve year after year after year after year. He's an RFA, correct?
So, right.
I mean, are you hearing anything on, like, he's going to be asking for his biggest contract yet, no question. Is this going to become another one of these RFA thorns in Chevy's side, like we saw with Trouba, I guess, is the best example? Right. Or are they going to work this out with Kopp?
Well, here's my best take of the current situation with Andrew Kopp. I think there's some encouraging signs here because to me, Matt, if the Jets feel that they can't lock Andrew Kopp up long-term, like they knew they couldn't with Jacob Trouba, for example, I think the time to move on from Andrew Kopp is now. In fact, one could argue the time to move on from Andrew Kopp was actually Saturday afternoon when the roster freeze went in ahead of the expansion draft. And I say that because if the Jets believe that they're not going to be able to lock Kopp up long-term, if this is headed to another round of arbitration, and as folks may know, if it does go the arbitration route as it did two summers ago, Andrew Kopp will get a one-year binding arbitration award, which will walk him right into unrestricted free agency. And what are the odds if you've taken a player to arbitration twice because you couldn't agree on terms? I think the odds are nil that player is then signing. I mean, you're going to lose that player now for nothing next summer unless you trade him and get something for him. So to back up, to me, if the Jets had a real fear that they are not going to be able to get Andrew Kopp's name on a long-term extension, the idea of moving him prior to the Saturday roster freeze, which would have then allowed you, depending on the return, I guess, if you got a forward back, but it may have allowed you to then protect a Mason Appleton, because I don't think you want to lose Kopp and Appleton. That's two-thirds of your third line, which was a real effective third line. So I'm not saying by any stretch that there's a deal done. I just think that it's trending in a more positive direction. The fact that Andrew Kopp was protected by the Jets. I mean, you're not going to give away an asset. They were always going to protect him even without a contract. You're not going to let Seattle just take Andrew Kopp you know, he'd have a lot more trade value if you felt that you couldn't retain him. But I just think this is obviously a very important stretch because to me, you do not want to just get a one-year contract for Andrew Kopp right now because then you're going to lose that player in a year. You need to get a long-term deal done now or this summer. And if you don't, you need to move on. And I just think the fact they haven't moved on yet, perhaps that does indicate that they feel that there's some movement or some traction. That being said, it is not going to be an easy negotiation, Matt. And you pointed out his numbers. Kurt Overhart is his agent. He's not an easy agent to deal with. The name may ring a bell because, of course, that was Jacob Trouba's agent, right? And we know how that story ended. So, you know, I got to think that Andrew Kopp's camp is probably asking for something starting with a 5 when it comes to an annual salary. And I have to think the Jets would like to get Andrew Kopp somewhere more in the Adam Lowry range, right? Somewhere in the 3.5. Is there a compromise to be found there? I mean, I do think if you get Kopp locked up long-term, that you're probably starting with a 4. But I think if you're the Jets, you're hoping that that's on a very low end of the number 4 and not on the high end, which is probably where Kopp's camp. So you could see where this has the potential to go sideways and to be a difficult negotiation. I guess one thing maybe the Jets do have working for them is the flat salary cap and a cap that's not expected to go up here at least for a couple more years. So everybody's working. Everybody in the NHL has kind of the same limited pie to work with, right? And I have to think that that's at least helping to keep costs down. The other thing quickly, Matt, I'll say is the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins contract, I have to think that that would potentially help the Jets' argument here as to what Andrew Kopp's value might be given what Ryan Nugent-Hopkins just signed for.
Good stuff. Great thoughts there. Yeah, I think it's the best third line the Jets have had in a decade with Cobb, Lowry, and Appleton. It'll be a shame with all of the thoughts that Appleton's going to be gone, but you definitely want to keep Kopp and Lowry. And I think you said it, other people on the chat too. I know I agree. Paying Kopp more than you're paying Lowry, they should probably be in the same ballpark. But before we let you go, Mike, I wanted to get your thoughts on the rest of the league. I know obviously you watch the Jets the most closely, but Carey Price, Gabe Landeskog, Vladimir Tarasenko, any of these names going to be wearing a Seattle Kraken jersey comes Wednesday night? Or is there maybe another name that you noticed not protected over the weekend who you thought, yeah, he's going to be in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, you can go down the list, eh? And you could build a team that 5 years ago would have been a team of all-stars, Hart Trophy winners, future Hall of Famers. I mean, a lot of, you know, Jacob Voracek is unprotected, right? I mean, Ryan Getzlaff is unprotected. Like, there's a reason, though, these players are available. It's because a lot of them, based on what they've done in the past, have big numbers, big contracts right now that teams are almost looking at this as a way to maybe get out from a deal that doesn't look so good anymore. And I know there was some talk here in Winnipeg. I had a lot of people saying to me, why aren't the Jets why aren't they making Blake Wheeler available? Why aren't they leaving him? And of course, Blake Wheeler would have had to do what Carey Price did and others, which is agree to waive his no move. And I know for a fact the Jets never even broached the topic with Blake Wheeler. And I assume Blake Wheeler never brought it up with the Jets either. But it does illustrate, I guess, the dilemma that if you're the Seattle Kraken, you can't just collect all these big names, you know, like baseball cards and present that to your fan base as look at all these recognizable faces we have here, because it won't take long until you're way above the $81.5 million cap. However, there are certainly a few names, and to me, Carey Price is the one that stands out, that I think they'd have to take a long, hard look at just because of recency. What did he just do? Well, he just helped lead Montreal to the Stanley Cup final. He showed that he still has game. He's obviously a guy that is from that region. Granted, he's Canadian, but he's a Western Canadian guy that I think they could really market their team around. And you look at what Vegas was able to do with Marc-Andre Fleury. who wasn't coming off. Marc-Andre Fleury had lost the starting job in Pittsburgh, whereas Carey Price just led Montreal to the Cup final. So I have to think, even with that contract, that there's reason Seattle would take a long, hard look. Now, this report that Price may require surgery, I think, throws another wrench in the whole thing. But I'll say this, I wouldn't be stunned if they did decide to take a chance on Carey Price. But I do think a lot of those other big names you just mentioned, you know, Landeskog, he's an unrestricted free agent. I don't see why, if you're Seattle right now, you'd waste a pick on a UFA. You could sign that. If the player wants to come play for you, you can sign him a week later in free agency, right? And they do have a negotiating window going on. I'll say this, though, looking at the lists of what is available, there is no reason that the Kraken can't be instantly competitive. And you look at the division that they're playing in, you know, a division where all three California teams are very much in a early stages of a rebuild in Los Angeles, San Jose, and Anaheim. You know, you've got Vancouver and Calgary, who all underperformed last year. You never know what you're going to get from the Edmonton Oilers. And sure, you've got Vegas. But to me, Seattle should hit the ground absolutely running here. They should have a very competitive team, one that I would fully expect to be competing for a playoff spot, just as the Vegas Golden Knights did in year one. There is a wealth of talent at their disposal. And, you know, I'm very curious to see what the Kraken lineup looks like on Wednesday night, because there's no shortage of big names and good players available.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really excited. Like you said early in the conversation, covering hockey, especially coming out of the pandemic, has become a 12-month-a-year exercise. And I think people are loving the fact that in the middle of July here, we've got all this great hockey news. Mike, this was a real treat for me. Great to meet you and talk with you here. Thanks for joining Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. And good luck with covering the rest of the week and the rest of the summer and into your fifth season covering the Jets for the Free Press. Look forward to reading more from you.
Indeed. Thanks, Matt. It was great to talk to you, and always enjoy appearing on the show. Best of luck. Take care.
Thanks very much. Again, Mike McIntyre, Winnipeg Free Press Jets reporter. I got a great article out right now that you can read on the Winnipeg Free Press website about the fact that the Jets protected Logan Stanley, their rookie defenseman, but left Dylan DeMello exposed. And yeah, just to kind of repeat the big thought, the opinion out there, Frank Saravelli of TSN, kind of reporting it earlier, is that if you're kind of worried about DeMello leaving, it seems, to quote Saravelli, that it'll be Appleton. Appleton is a slam dunk to go to Seattle, according to Frank. Oh, yeah, he's not on TSN anymore. He's on Daily Faceoff. See, this is what happens. I'm a little bit rusty. I'm sorry. But that's why I've got the CTO, Michael Remus. Frank Saravelli, not TSN, Daily Faceoff. Thanks very much, Reem, for reminding me. We've got another great hockey guest coming up in just a couple of minutes. Jonathan Davis. Used to chat with him all the time when I was working with Troy and Brandon on the big show on TSN 1290. And he was with Sirius XM NHL. So we'll be able to talk more and dive more into kind of around the league, some of the moves over the weekend before the roster freeze. And of course, who Jonathan thinks Seattle will be targeting. Will Carey Price? I tend to think that Carey Price is not going to be on the Seattle Kraken, but Tarasenko is somebody that I definitely think will be a Kraken, and will be the change of scenery will do him well, provided he's healthy. A little bit more on the sponsor family for Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. Not AutoCorp. They were on board from day one. I'm sure you've heard us say that many times. Big thanks to Not AutoCorp. Why not get into the vehicle of your dreams at a great price with the help of the Not team? A wide selection of vehicles, including many Teslas. And if you are already in a lease or a vehicle, they'll help you get max value for your current ride with their successful consignment program. Pop in and see them at Waverly and McGilvery, or check them out online at not.ca. The big thanks to Not AutoCorp. Little Brown Jug. The hot weather, I'm sure a lot of people have been enjoying some cold ones on patios. Why not try a Little Brown Jug? Enjoy some cold 1919s or the new Little Brown Jug Summer Lager with friends on the patio at the Little Brown Jug Tap Room, 336 William Avenue. Or you can get it delivered to your home by ordering online, littlebrownjug.ca. It's never been easier to get the great taste of Little Brown Jug, and check the events page on the website to see where they are out in the community this week. Finally, golf clubs. They've been open for a little while. Breezy Bend, the official golf club of the Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily Show, with a great junior program, ladies and men's night, and social events. Breezy Bend is the spot for you and your family to get the most out of golf season. Get on the waiting list for next year. Find out more at their website, breezybend.ca. Okay, while we're waiting for Jonathan Davis, I'm just trying to connect, working things out with Michael Remus. I want to throw something out to you that I threw out to Remus in the pre-show, a little libel-style trivia. With Seattle Kraken joining the NHL, we have another one of these teams that I absolutely love, a team name that does not end in S. They're not like the Dodo. They're not extinct. They're not super rare either. There are a few of them across the four major sports leagues of North America. I'm talking about the NHL, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. But how many, now that Seattle is joining the NHL, who's got the answer on this? Now that the Kraken are the newest team in the NHL, taking us up to 32, and I'm glad because I just do not like odd numbers in leagues like that, so thank goodness for that. Now that we've got the Kraken, how many non-S-ending sports teams are there in the four major leagues? I think I have the answer. Hopefully someone has the answer too. I guess I have to check out the YouTube chat and see what the story there is. Another NHL story that I wanted to hit, and maybe we can mention this with Jonathan Davis. Remus asked me about this, and I'll be honest with you. There is Luke Prokop. Did you see this story? It's a huge story on Sportsnet's website and on TSN's website and social media. He's the first active NHLer, right? He's a Nashville Predators draft pick, former Calgary Hitman. He's a defenseman. He put out a social media post today that coming out that he's gay. And he talked to the 31 Thoughts podcast about it. And this is my take. It's similar to a few months ago, a player in the NFL did this. I applaud him completely. I commend him for his courage. I want to celebrate him because what he has done is a landmark announcement for an active NHLer. Not that I think for a second that there aren't many gay players in the NHL, and I have to quote Seinfeld, but honestly, not that there's anything wrong with that at all. It is a big move for him to announce this publicly, but the last part of the take for me is, I feel like this show doing what it does and sports broadcasters, you have to acknowledge it because it's a big story and obviously a lot of people are talking about it, but I hate that. I hate the fact that this is a big story. It should literally just be, Luke is gay. Okay, good for him. Yeah. Who really cares? Right. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not that I have a negative opinion, far from it at all. Again, he should be commended because it's a courageous thing to do, to be the first to do this. It's a landmark announcement. It's not easy to do. His face is all over social media. He's got this 15 minutes is right now and it's blowing up and everybody's talking about it. But I'm going to be honest. To me, it's a bit of a shame that it's such a story. It shouldn't be a story. But in order to get to a place where it isn't a big story, we need more Luke Prokops. And that's why it's a big story, because we're on our way to get to a place where this isn't a big story. And on the road, the players like Luke who come out and say, I'm gay and I need to be honest with myself, with fans, with the hockey community, with the world. Huge thumbs up to you, Luke Prokop. Best of luck in your career. And hopefully it's the first and last time we ever talk about your or any other player's sexual orientation as we continue to move in a positive direction. All right. I'm looking at I count 10. So that was my answer to the whole Kraken. I could only come up with 9. What's the 10th? What's the 10th? Red Sox, White Sox, Avalanche. I knew. That's a huge one. Mal Paris, was he the first one who got it? Was Mal Paris the first one? Mal Paris was the first one who got it. I'm not sure if he was the first one who got it, but that's it. That's what I counted. There's no teams in the NFL. In the NHL, now you've got the Kraken, you got the Wild, you got the Avalanche and the Lightning. in the NBA, you got the Thunder, you got the Magic, you got the Heat, you got the Jazz. And in baseball, this is the one that always trips everybody up, Red Sox, White Sox. SOX. It's still not the most egregious spelling of a sports team in professional sports, SOX, because, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs. What is that? Leafs? No. No. No one ever says that. Maybe it's because I'm the only person who likes sports and grammar at the same time. We're trying to connect here with Jonathan Davis, a host with SiriusXM NHL. Used to be a guest regularly on the big show when I was there. I think he still jumps on. He used to jump on. It's not a station anymore. Used to jump on in the years that I left. We're just trying to connect with him. I don't think we have him. So we're just a few people noticing the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's just funny, you know, me ragging on the Leafs. It's kind of like biting the hand that feeds. I'm Matt Leibel. I'm the sports rabbi. I'm filling in for Hus today, for those of you who are kind of later joining us or you know, listening later on. And I'm at my brother-in-law's. I'm on vacation with my family. I've been in Ontario for all of July. And I'm with my, I'm in my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's place in Cambridge, Ontario. My brother-in-law is a huge Maple Leafs fan. And I pulled, also a huge Blue Jays fan. And I pulled down this Jose Bautista bat flip poster to throw on the bed and add a little sports color to his home office that I've taken over as our place while we're staying here. So it just feels a little wrong that I'm ripping on the Leafs sitting in his comfy work chair with Joey Bats behind us. But oh well, I agree with what Leighton just said on YouTube. Leafs barf, Blue Jays thumbs up. And big announcement, of course, with the Blue Jays. If you saw this, I watched a lot of baseball last week. I love the baseball All-Star game and the home run derby and getting the Jays back. And the Jays had a really, really great weekend. You know, the sweep of the Rangers, the doubleheader sweep, and then, of course, the win Friday night. And the big announcement that folks in Toronto are going to be able to go down to the Dome and see live baseball this season, July 30th. That after playing in Dunedin, Florida, and after playing in Buffalo. And by the way, wasn't the Buffalo Stadium look good on TV for all of the baseball fans who've been watching it? And but it's nothing better than having the roof open at Rogers Center, which I still call the Sky Dome. And the Jays are going to get to do that coming up in just a little over a week and a half. So the 30th of July, they will be they'll be back home. And I'm sure that they're going to get some huge, huge crowds for the Toronto Blue Jays. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If I see a couple of people who are in the Ontario area, I'm not going to be here long enough to get down there and see him. But I have seen him play live. He alone is worth the price of admission. And it's absolutely fantastic to watch Vladdy Jr. live. And of course, he was the MVP of the All-Star game. No, Troy's got another job with other commitments, and we couldn't make it work. But yeah, okay. So while we're waiting for Jonathan Davis, hopefully to connect here, a couple people wanted a couple quick thoughts on the Jays. I will tell you this right now: the Blue Jays have a very, very good team. I mean, they had three starters in the All-Star game, and I understand that there's fan voting and everything going on. They had Bo Bichette there as well. Their offense is off the charts without George Springer even doing anything this year. Right? He's basically been hurt for the entire year. When he's played, he's had a couple of home runs here, but he's really done nothing. Their offense is unbelievable. And their starting pitching is actually unbelievable. I will go so far. I've watched Robbie Ray pitch the last couple of starts for you Jays fans. The guy's lights out. He's unhittable. His location is bang on. He comes from the lefty position. He just, the southpaw, he's great. And of course, Ryu had the full seven inning in the first game of the doubleheader. So he's been out off the charts. The Jays have a great team, if not for their bullpen. And with the Major League Baseball trade deadline approaching at the end of the month, the Jays need to do a little bit more to address their bullpen. I had read that they were maybe looking at a guy like Craig Kimbrell, to get a guy like Craig Kimbrell, who's kind of having a resurgent year after being lights out a few years ago when he was with the Braves. I think now he's with the Cubs. But they definitely need somebody in there. They went for Kirby Yates in the offseason. Kirby Yates was a closer in San Diego. Can't get anything done when a guy gets hurt like that. I mean, that just smacks you over the head. What are you going to do about that? But the Jays, they're in a tough division. They've got to deal with the Red Sox. They got to deal with the Rays, who always seem to have their number. And the Yankees, of course, have had a terrible year, but the Yankees are the Yankees. The Jays have to compete with a tough AL East. But if they can get themselves in as a wild card, and if they can shore up that bullpen, I like the Jays. I like the Jays to cause a little bit of damage, particularly because they've got some unbelievable talent on the field and some great starting pitching that's really surprised me this year. So I see a few people are appreciating the baseball talk. The only other thing I can throw out that way, baseball wise, is after watching the Home Run Derby and the Major League All-Star Game earlier this past week, I have the same thought every year. The All-Star Games in the four major North American sports leagues, the baseball's is by far the best. Even if you're not a baseball fan, you have to be able to admit that. You have to be able to say, yes, baseball has this figured out. And they've actually improved the Derby. You know, the dunk competition is probably the closest thing in the NBA. It's really great, but the dunk competition has good years and bad years. And sometimes it doesn't seem to really be evolving and moving forward. What they've done with the Derby this year, and with the, like when they had the Derby, when it was just 10 outs, remember 10 swings, any swing that wasn't a home run was an out. Guys couldn't get into a rhythm in the same way. I mean, you had some epic performances. Bobby Abreu, I remember, had one epic performance. Josh Hamilton too. But now that they have the clock and the way they do it, it's amazing. Okay, enough about baseball. I think we've got him. Jonathan Davis, SiriusXM, NHL host. I've never seen him. I used to talk to him all the time when I was on the big show. We used to have him on regularly, but now I see him. And he's a hip looking dude. He's got the glasses. He's got great hair. Let's see if we can get Jonathan Davis in here joining Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. Jonathan, how are you? I don't know if you remember us from our big show conversations back in the day, but it's great to talk to you again. Welcome back.
Yes, it's nice to be back. It's man, technology is a beautiful thing once you can figure out how to work it.
Well, I'm glad, you know, good things in life are worth waiting for. Patience pays off. And it's great to have you connected. I said, you know, I talked to you all those times on the phone, on the radio. Now we get a good look at you. You got a nice head of hair. You got a hip shirt. You look like the perfect hockey host. So I'm ready to talk with you. I want to dive right into the Seattle Kraken, the expansion draft coming up. It's the big story with the protected list coming out over the weekend. Let's start right off with some of these huge names. We've been talking about it for the last hour. Remus and I don't really see Carey Price being a Seattle Kraken. We don't really see Gabriel Landeskog getting picked because he's a UFA. A guy like Tarasenko, I think that I could see happening. But take us through some of the big names and some of the people that you know that you feel for sure won't end up on Seattle, but a few names maybe that will end up on Seattle come Wednesday night.
Well, I'm kind of going back and forth on the whole Carey Price situation because, you know, what he can do to draw people into the building, I think that would be a big thing for Seattle. If he can play, to his capabilities, then, hey, look, it gives him a shot every time they're in net, that he's in net. And I think for Mark Bergevin, like, I think Mark Bergevin would actually love if Carey Price got selected. Because, you know, that contract is just not going to look really good in Montreal down the road. You know, you see the names out there. I think a guy like Jake Bean in Carolina is a guy that he's going to get picked. Connor Clifton's another guy out of Boston. Those are two names that stand out. You know, Tarasenko is a matter of buyer beware on that one. But so it'll be interesting. And then, you know, we talk about Price and net, but – you know, the word that's been going on for quite some time is Chris Drieger is the guy that they will sign, you know, the unrestricted free agent from the Florida Panthers, and that'll be their selection. So I think, you know, that's kind of some of the starting off points that, you know, you can look at for players to be selected.
If you're Ron Francis and you're building this team and you had the Vegas Golden Knights, who basically built a championship caliber team through the expansion draft not even half a decade ago, I guess it's a two-part question. How much pressure are you feeling? And what's your strategy to build a team? I mean, you're a California guy, if I'm not mistaken, right? You're out west. It's a good place to be, actually, coming into the league. What's your strategy for this first year? Because I think the Vegas set the bar very high that expansion teams should be competitive right away, should be playoff teams right away.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, based in California, but I'm actually, you know, grew up in Toronto, raised in Montreal, so a lot of Canadian blood there. But when I look at this Pacific Division, you know, if I'm Ron Francis, you know, look, I think you've got Vegas, and Edmonton, I'm pretty confident make the playoffs. But beyond that, I think it's pretty wide open. So, you know, you have a shot to make the playoffs this year. And so why not go for it? I mean, it's not like you're going to have to mortgage your future. You don't, you know, the Price contract, the one thing that is tricky with Carey Price's contract, guys, is that he's doing an $11 million signing bonus in September. You know, so that's a pretty big pill to have to swallow off the bat. The rest of the salary is not so big after, you know, in the years to come. I don't know if there is pressure, but I just think that there's an opportunity to seize a playoff spot. And I'm, you know, look, I'm waiting to see what the Los Angeles Kings do. You know, what other additions do they make beyond Victor Arvidsson? Because if they do make some substantial moves, then they become a player. Otherwise, you know, I think Seattle's got a realistic shot at the playoffs.
Jonathan Davis is our guest. He's a SiriusXM NHL host. We're talking about the Seattle Kraken expansion draft in Winnipeg. Jonathan, as you may expect, everybody is really, I mean, the Jets, even in July, are the biggest story in town. And over the weekend, when the protected list came out, a lot of people were up in arms that Winnipeg Jets GM Kevin Cheveldayoff chose to protect Logan Stanley, coming off his rookie year as a defenseman, and leave Dylan DeMello, who was basically their best first pairing defenseman along Morrissey all year long, and then got hurt right at the beginning of the second round, which they got swept in, leaving him unprotected. We've since talked about that the word out there is that the Kraken are going to lean towards taking a third line forward named Mason Appleton.
Yeah.
But as someone who maybe can give us a little bit of a deep breath and an outsider perspective from Winnipeg, where we hang on to these things like their life and death. I mean, a third line forward, come on. Who do you see, or do you have are you hearing anything on who the Jets are going to lose to Seattle, or if you want to look at it, who Seattle should target from who's available?
Well, I think that, you know, you know, Mason Appleton would be a really good pickup for the Winnipeg Jets or for the Seattle Kraken. But I do understand that, you know, the frustration of Jets fans when Dylan DeMello, who you know, was so important to this team, is left unprotected. You know, but this is the problem that, you know, the Kevin Cheveldayoff has is, you take a look at the strides that Logan Stanley made and you're trying to project long term. You know, are you better off with Logan Stanley than Dylan DeMello and take your chance? I mean, look, there are a lot of defensemen out there. Seattle can't take every defenseman out there. So, you know what? It's a really tough call either way, but I think that, Mason Appleton would serve a very good, you know, I think he is that bottom six guy, and maybe he can slot into your second line, depending upon, you know, how your roster shapes out. I think that's the guy that the Seattle Kraken take is Mason Appleton. So Jeff Stan,
we need
calm down. You'll likely be able to keep Dylan DeMello.
So if they keep Dylan DeMello, and they've got Morrissey, and they've got DeMello, and they've got Stanley, they got Ville Heinola coming up, people talking about Dylan Sandberg. Everybody in the league seems to know that the Jets have an unbelievable top six, a pretty solid third line, maybe even a fourth line, a Vezina-caliber goaltender, and questions on defense. Yeah. So considering when you look at the fact that all these other players, I mean, they got some young players, but their window to challenge for conference final, Stanley Cup final, feels to be now. What, in your opinion, do the Jets need to do to get to that level where they don't get swept by the Montreal Canadiens in the second round, but they can compete and go farther? Because I think a lot of people thought that this was going to be their chance, and it wasn't, and they pointed the defense. So what do you do?
Well, one, keep your captain from, you know, not getting either hurt or suspended in the first round. That helps. But I think, you know, look, realistically, they're going to have to make a trade. It's a hard place to sign free agents. There's no, you know, look, there's no question about that. So, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff likely, you know, is going to have to move, I would think, one of his forwards that he doesn't want to have to move. You know, he already moved one in Patrick Laine, but he may have to move another one to get himself a defenseman in a trade. I don't think there's any way around it. Because that window is, you know, it is starting to close, and you're going to have to turn that roster over from Scheifele and Wheeler, you know, to guys like Kyle Connor eventually and Nick Ehlers. And so, yeah, I think they're really in the market to try to move to try to swing a defenseman. And maybe it's something that they can do with Seattle, that they can try to trade for one of the many defensemen that the Kraken pick up.
How do you look at the career of Kevin Cheveldayoff? I was asking our first guest, who's a Jets reporter, Mike McIntyre, about the fact that everyone likes to say, oh, the GM should be fired for this or that. But after 10 years,
yeah.
I mean, he, unlike the Kraken, unlike the Vegas Golden Knights, he didn't have an expansion draft. He inherited an Atlanta Thrashers team that was very, very broken. Broken at the NHL level, broken at the farm system level. And I have to say that he's done a lot of things. And like you mentioned, I think it never gets stated just how difficult it is when you're the Winnipeg general manager in the NHL. How should Jets fans be feeling about Kevin Cheveldayoff as their GM? Passing grade, failing grade, seats getting hot. What's your take?
Well, I think the seat's getting hot, but that's just because, you know, look, you haven't won the Stanley Cup yet. So, you know, and after 10 years, you know, that's your ultimate goal. But, you know, I think he deserves definitely at worst a B+. I mean, it's not like he hasn't tried to make this team better. And he's, you know, I think he's made some decent deals. And obviously, you know, what happened with Dustin Byfuglien didn't help. And then, you know, the Scheifele injury and the Scheifele suspension, very critical to, you know, losses for Winnipeg these last two playoff years. But it's not like he hasn't tried. It's not like Kevin Cheveldayoff has kind of sat on his hands at the deadline, you know, whether it was, you know, the Paul Stastny deals. You know, he's tried to find ways, and even, you know, even the Pierre-Luc Dubois deal, the Line A deal, I mean, he's tried. It hasn't worked yet, but it's not through lack of effort. And I don't think he's made bad trades. So, you know, and I don't think that they've drafted poorly. It's just, you know, it's kind of like very similar to what Marc Bergevin, you know, went through. You know, it's a tough place to get free agents to sign. In saying that, you know, he did get Tyler Toffoli this year. You know, they did, you know, they got Corey Perry, but it's more challenging in Winnipeg. It's harder to do the job in Winnipeg than it is, you know, whether it's Toronto or Boston, you know, some, you know, Los Angeles, some more attractive cities, Vegas, any of the tax-free states in the U.S. I think Kevin Cheveldayoff has done a really good job. But he, you know, the Byfuglien injury, you know, definitely, you know, set this team back and has caused, you know, the woes on the blue line.
Yeah, I think that's, we were mentioning that earlier too. The Byfuglien thing came out of nowhere, and how do you recover from what that guy pulled and losing him basically with no warning? I want to look at another team and get your take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I told the listeners and the viewers that I'm here in my I'm on vacation. I'm at my brother-in-law's place. He's a diehard Maple Leafs fan. Of course, he likes to talk about the Leafs, and he just seemed at a loss. Like, Maple Leafs fans are probably at a loss. Like, what do you do with that roster, with that team? I mean, the problems that the Jets and some other teams are dealing with, it's very different from having a team like Toronto. Like, to me, to see Montreal go to the Stanley Cup final was the biggest condemnation of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They should have been in the Stanley Cup final when you look at their team. So what do you do if you're Kyle Dubas with a team like the Leafs?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, look, he's been, I mean, I would have to trade one of your forwards. I mean, you can't keep, you know, you've got too much money tied up in your forwards. You know, the obviously would be William Nylander, who ironically was their best player in this past year's playoff. You know, they tried to bring in toughness. And I still think, you know, I think, and I'm not the only one who's made this point, you know, toughness is, it's also about your big guys playing tougher. You know, Austin Matthews has to be tougher. Mitch Marner has to be tougher. It's fighting through things, fighting through, playing closer to the net. You know, you listen to the way the Lightning talked about, you know, guys, just the sacrifices that they made, the style of hockey that they're willing to play. That's what you need to see from this Maple Leaf team. Because right now, you know, whether it's Spezza or, you know, they brought in the veteran experience with Spezza and Thornton and Wayne Simmonds, and, you know, those guys bring certain elements. But at the end of the day, like, the Leafs never really had a set lineup in their bottom six. And I think that's kind of – you can't win that way. So it's a team that really lacks a lot of depth. Once you get past the big four forwards, they're really interchangeable. I think that was very evident when you look at the least protected list, and they went 4-4, which didn't surprise me. because they just don't have a lot of blue line depth. So I think that, you know, if you're Toronto, you know, it's not an easy fix. And I think the bigger concern for me is that the window is really closing, because Matt, I really don't expect Austin Matthews to sign his next contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, I really think he's going to be gone. I've said this for a couple of years. My feeling is that his next deal will be with a team in the U.S. That's my feeling. I felt really strongly about it when Babcock was there. I still feel very strong about it, but not as strong. But I really think that, you know, they've got 2 years. And if they don't win within the next 2 years, then I think you're going to see a big changeover. Now, the other thing for Kyle Dubas is that, you know, he wants to play. His history has been to play up-tempo games. And he wants to see exciting hockey. I get it. But wouldn't be so bad to play some boring hockey if you're Toronto. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, your best players just have to be your best players when it matters most. And that just hasn't happened for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs, at least their two best players.
There's no question about that. I mean, Barry Trotz has been hovering around Stanley Cups with like finals with different teams, and in Washington, he got them to break through. The Islanders were in game seven. Yeah. The Oilers. I want to ask you about the Oilers. Can the Oilers build a contending team around Connor McDavid?
Well, you would hope they could. And, you know, look, it would be interesting to see, you know, what they do this offseason. You know, I do like the ad of Duncan Keith, because I think that's a guy that can, you know, what he does for those young players to teach them what it means, teach them how to win. You need those types of guys. And I think there's still a lot left in Duncan Keith's game. But I'm still waiting for Ken Holland, and we'll see it after the expansion draft. You know, what adds does he make to the roster? Because there's no question that, you know, once you get beyond the big two, you know, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, I think, you know, Ryan Nugent Hopkins is a guy that's better suited for the wing than he is at center. I know that, you know, they've had discussions with Zach Hyman's group, you know, for at least, well, maybe not discussions, but they're most interested. They're definitely one of the 12 teams that have reached out to Zach Hyman. So I, you know, those are the types of players. They've got to improve their bottom six. But yes, they can. And now this is a chance for Ken Holland to put his stamp on the team, because this was Peter Chiarelli's team up until now. So, you know, I would still expect to see a buyout. You know, maybe I would think that they would buy James Neal out. We'll wait and see what happens. But there's no question. And they have to be contenders, because you can't keep wasting these years. So, you know, we'll see what they do to add some forward depth. But there's no question. This, you know, well, again, let's circle back after the expansion draft and see, you know, where their money goes, because they're also still waiting on Adam Larson. You know, do they sign? Are they able to sign Adam Larson? Is it Tyson? You know, because if Larson doesn't sign, maybe Tyson Barry comes back, because they can't sign both Larson and Barry. But ultimately, they need to improve their forward depth. Zach Hyman would be a great add. We'll see what else is out there for you.
So our guest is Jonathan Davis, SiriusXM NHL host. I'm going to let you go. I wish I could ask you this after Wednesday's draft, at least, because a lot can change. And I give you the chance to change your opinion, but I'm only guest hosting today. For the upcoming NHL season, which feels like it's starting right away, you taking the Tampa Bay Lightning or are you taking the Field?
All right. Well, I mean, I would probably take the Field. I mean, it's just I would definitely take the Field. I would. I mean, but look, that roster could look very different. I mean, you've already lost Barkley Goudreau. You're going to lose likely Yanni Gord or Andre Palat. It's going to be a very, very different team. So a tremendous amount of talent there. Wasn't surprised that they went 4-4 either. So look, they've got the key components. They've got they're still strong down the middle. They've still got the Norris Trophy defenseman. They've got a Vezina goalie. So they have all the components. But I'll take the Field. And by the way, you are the sports rabbi. You would appreciate this. My daughter left June 30th. She is one of 10 kids from our temple that was given a free trip to Israel for 6 weeks. So she is having just an amazing, amazing time. And
Well, that's great. You should know I am a free agent, Rabbi, as we speak. My contract ended June 30th, and I'm just on vacation mode. So if your temple needs somebody, wants me to come down for a little West Coast interview, I wouldn't necessarily say no right off the bat. And then maybe we could have more of these hockey chats down in California.
Wonderful.
Jonathan, I really appreciate it. Great to talk to you again after all this time. Glad that you're doing well. All the best to your family. I hope your daughter enjoys her visit and everything else going on, and enjoy the off season and the upcoming season. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Be well.
Bye-bye. Jonathan Davis. Yeah, that's right. It says the sports rabbi there. I guess that's, I gave myself that moniker, just like I called Michael Remus the hammer off the top of the show. And we're going to get to his hammering bets in just a second, but I want to get Remus back in here before we wrap up the show in the final 10 minutes. Went around the league there with Jonathan Davis, which was absolutely fabulous. Got a chance to talk a little bit of Jets with him, but also Jets earlier with Mike McIntyre. If you missed any of the show, make sure that you get a chance to listen. And you should be doing what I do with this show as a fan and having it downloaded wherever you get your podcasts from. Maybe it's on Spotify, maybe through Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. You should be getting the podcast for this show on a daily basis. And when you're watching on YouTube, and you still got time right now for all you YouTubers watching, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Help us hit that 5,000 subscription mark. We're so close. That's a big milestone for Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily, for Huss and for Remus. So help the guys get to that. Subscribe and give us the thumbs up if you haven't done that already. 127 thumbs up today. Loving it. Just kind of around 300 viewers right now, which is really, really fantastic. A great honor. And thanks to everybody. So before we get back into the last part of our show, I want to just thank Jonathan Davis again and Mike McIntyre, our guests, and thank a few more of our Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily sponsors, like Assiniboia Downs, featuring live racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Hey, today's Monday. Bet online at hpibet.com or make a reservation in the Terrace Dining Room for an evening of live racing. Latest updates on reopening plans are available at asdowns.com. He'll become Michael the Hammer Remus because he hammers Hustler with all of his bets on the ponies. He'll make his $20 of Assiniboia Downs picks before the end of the show. And also just want to mention Aikens Lake Wilderness Lodge. That's where Hustler is right now, probably coming back a little bit later today. He'll be back for tomorrow's show. People can find out more about Aikens Lake at aikenslake.com. Also, a big thank you to some of the other sponsors: Royal Sports, Nick and Nikki, DQ Group, Boston Pizza, Not Auto Corp, Little Brown Jug, Breezy Bend, and Cool Bet Canada. All right. Remo, are you there? Come on back. I want to see your face.
I am here. I'm here. I saw people making jokes that I was sweating during that segment with Jonathan Davis, but we figured it out. It worked out. We are here. So
you did beautifully.
That's good.
I wanted to acknowledge your kick-ass Mariners hat today. Just an outstanding. I love the color. That's like the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie color scheme, right? With the yellow on the S and the blue in the hat. Like, that is obviously in honor of the Seattle Kraken and the expansion draft coming up later this week.
Yes, I got a lot of Seattle hats, so I might as well sport them. I'm waiting for a Mariners Kraken mashup hat, and I can maybe get one of those.
Yeah, the Jonathan Davis interview worked out fine. I mean, these things happen. It's live radio / TV / online every once in a while, but hey, he sorted it out, and it was great to hear him. He can bounce around the league. Got a chance to ask him some of the things I've been thinking about. Obviously, I care a little bit more about the Canada teams. I'm telling you, though, I know Tampa Bay is going to lose a couple players. They already lost Goudreau, who signed a longer extension with the Rangers. That's an incredible team. That's an absolutely incredible team. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're mixing up in the final four, maybe in the finals again next year. But we'll have to see. We got a lot of hockey between now and then. I wanted to ask you about one of the things that I was mentioning when I went a little baseball there, just to try and fill things in. I don't know if you heard. Is there any contest whatsoever that the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game are the best of the All-Star events?
No, we talk about
North American professional sports. No, not close, right?
I talked with Hustler last week. Yeah, it's the best one. I like the NHL Skills Competition. but it doesn't have with the Home Run Derby. I will say, though, the Home Run Derby in the new format is fun for like an hour. And then it gets kind of, you've seen, once you've seen everyone, like the first round's the best round. Once you've seen everyone, it slows down for me. So that's what I will say. I mean, I watched the whole thing. It was great seeing Pete Alonso. I mean, you're like, how is this guy still going? Because if you and I went into a cage and hit balls for 3 minutes straight, ball after ball, like you would need a lot more break than these guys had. It is, it's pretty impressive. And they're hitting balls, you know, 400 feet. So it's pretty cool. And, you know, we got some great matchups. You know, we wanted to see maybe Ohtani, you know, go to the final, but he didn't. But I think Pete Alonso, worthy champion, and very excited. That was last week.
And, of course, Remus, we see the trophy in the background. If there's anyone qualified to make comments on a home run derby, it is, what was the year again that you won the one and only Winnipeg Sports Media home run derby contest at Shaw Park?
July 28, 2014, in front of a capacity crowd at Shaw Park. I think they were like packed outside. They were lining up to get in. So we're coming in on like a 7 year anniversary next week.
A brokenhearted Ken Weeb, who talked a lot of trash and did not expect to get bested by it.
And
I beat
Troy Westwood, just for the record, professional athlete Troy Westwood. I beat him in a home run derby in front of a capacity crowd.
A couple of people on Twitter, on YouTube, want me to challenge you for the home run derby. And I would never do that because I'm a singles and walks machine. I'm not a power guy.
Mm-hmm. Neither am I.
I'm an on-base marvel.
I'm not a power guy either, but I don't know what I was thinking. I got into that thing. We talk about it all the time because I have the trophy here. I looked at all the people and was like, oh shit, what did I get myself into? Can I get out of this right now? I'm gonna embarrass myself in front of everyone. And thankfully, someone had to hit balls out of the park in that thing, and it was just me.
Your humility is first rate, and so is your home run swing. Would Leibel win in a race versus Remus? Not a chance.
You can't run, man.
Slow.
Yeah.
I have no speed, but I'm very quick. I have quickness, cat-like reflexes, but I have no speed. And you know what? Speed is, at least in my life, it's overrated. I don't try to do anything in a hurry. Remus, you're a Assiniboy Downs pick. Please.
Yeah, we gotta go. We gotta wrap up soon. But I will give you my Assiniboia Downs picks. I did win on my last race. I think Wednesday, I've won two races in a row. I've kind of just been breaking even, so I need to come out on top. Oops, I don't want that to show up. Hold on one sec. I messed up. But yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Assiniboia Downs racing, HPI bet. And I do want to give a shout out. Actually, we haven't talked about this. Manitoba Moose, you know, we were talking who is going to coach, the coach. Pascal Vincent moved on, assistant coach with Columbus now. They announced today Mark Morrison. He was assistant coach with Anaheim Ducks for the last couple of years. But before that, I think it was from 2011 to 2017, he was with the St. John's Icecaps in Manitoba Moose. So I had major, you know, I started singing when I saw Mark Morrison was named. I started singing like Return of the Mac to myself. Are you familiar with that 90s tune?
We used to play that as entry music whenever Joe Mack, the former disgraceful Winnipeg Blue Bomber GM, would be a guest in the early days of sports radio and then TSN 1290. Return up, Mac.
Yeah,
we used to play that all the time when he would come on and do interviews, and I'm pretty sure he didn't know any of the players on the Bombers when he was the GM, let alone that song. I shouldn't be ripping on him, but obviously moving on from him was a good thing for the Bombers.
It definitely worked out for them. I will say that. But yeah, Mark Morrison, he was with the Icecaps from 2011 to 2015, then came over two seasons with the Moose. So he did, one, two, three, four, six seasons with the organization, and then four seasons with the Ducks as assistant. So he coached some of the players that are on the Jets now. Morrissey, Hellebuck, obviously, Mark Scheifele was with the Icecaps briefly in one of their playoff runs. So, you know, going back, guy that they knew, he has a chance at a head coach position now. So, seems like, you know, the Moose head coach spot is a bit of a stepping stone, as you've seen in the past, to other coaching positions. And here, let's get to my...
Going back all the way to Alain Vigneault, right? Like, you're absolutely right. Like, that was back when they were affiliated with the Canucks, but it has been And I think also it speaks to True North as an organization. They're well known for their loyalty. Mm. You talk about bringing back one of their own. I don't think it's a surprise. When you're in the good books with True North, you're in the good books, it seems, for a long time. And we'll see. I wish Mark Morrison and the Moose a lot of good luck for this upcoming season.
Yeah, they had
HPI bet. Yeah.
Yeah. They had a great young team last year. You know, they couldn't play the playoffs. So I think good things are to come for them. HPI bet. Let me go race two. I'm going kind of crazy here. Race two, I got an Exacta, horse six, horse five has to finish 1 and 2. Henry Zin Control and Chippewa Kid. So they only got to finish 1-2 there. That's only a $3 bet. I got another $3 bet in race three, horse three, Northern Sky to win. And then I got race four, $10 is my big one, $10 Quinella, horse four, Kara Mia Mine and Wits Gato. They got to finish 1-2 any order. And then I got another Quinella 1-2 any order of race five, horse two and four, Catalina Dreamin, you know, like the Catalina wine mixer. Lyle, you're familiar with that. And what's the other one? Four, Sea Myrtle. So I do like
to
go.
Implying? What are you implying there? Yeah, what is that?
Come on. The movie Step Brothers. You're familiar with the Catalina wine mixer. So I'm taking Catalina Dreamin. You know what I'm talking about?
You know, yes, of course, it's a great reference. Farrell and Riley, the brothers. I always love Pam. Say Pam? Pam? Pam?
Oh, yes.
Cineboy Downs always takes me back. Personally, my parents had their first ever date as a couple at Assiniboia Downs. My dad let my mom pick the horses, and they were winners. But I can't help but thinking he should have had Michael Remus picking, and he'd be winning ever since. But hey, you never know. Good luck to you with all your picks. And remember, you can make your picks for Assiniboia Downs, hpibet.net. Assiniboia Downs, just one of the great sponsors of Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. Also want to thank Royal Sports, the Nick and Nikki DQ Group, Boston Pizza, Not Auto Corp, Little Brown Jug, Breezy Bend, Aikens Lake Wilderness Lodge, and Cool Bet Canada.
Yeah, I guess
we're
just about done.
Thoughts for the day?
Yeah, cool bet. Here, just give a shout out to the Jays. They're favorites today against the Red Sox, minus 128. And I can pull up the NBA.
What about the basketball?
Yeah, the basketball.
Yeah, what about the NBA?
That's actually tomorrow, but the Bucks are 4.5-point favorites to close this thing. I want the Suns. I'd like to see, you know, them take it
too.
But what is it? July 20? Like, let's move on already.
We're talking about hockey in the middle of July. You can't be telling the NBA to move on when we're talking about hockey.
It's hockey off season. It's hockey off season. This is the perfect time for hockey off season talk.
Michael Remus, it's been a pleasure chatting with you and working with you again, falling into our old rhythm. I think I love that you and Hustler started this up in March. I was a huge supporter, telling you guys from the very beginning. I've been a guest before, and now getting to be a guest host is just an absolute honor and a thrill. I hope you'll have me back sometime as either. And lots of luck for you guys the rest of the off season, the summer, and into your first full Winnipeg Jets season. It is so great for Winnipeg sports fans to have a show like this to go to day after day after day. I commend you guys. You do a great job. You're running a first-class operation, and hopefully you'll get your first-class status back after Hustler returns tomorrow and I leave.
We'll have Hustler on, you know, regular internet, not the dial-up that you got on that people commented in chat.
Yeah, a few people picked up on the fact that I've got a little bit of a grainy image here. In the words of Beverly Hills Cop, I'm on vacation. I mean, what I want you to say, there's a reference for you, Remus. Beverly Hills Cop,
I'm not,
before you were born. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, not. And I did say I was going to watch the new Space Jam, but I didn't watch the new Space Jam yet. So I'll take recommendations always. But I know no matter how poor your internet connection is, Matthew, I know a lot of people in chat enjoyed seeing your bearded face when we wiped away from the intro, as a one day change. So appreciate you coming in and doing this.
It's seriously really, really, I really appreciate you and Hustler asking me to do this and making and troubleshooting all of the connections and making it all happen. And thank you to all the viewers and the podcast listeners. Again, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you give the likes on YouTube. And make sure you are subscribing to get the podcast downloaded on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. I think that's going to do it for us. for Michael Remus, the CTO of Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. I'm your guest host for the day, Matt Leibel, the sports rabbi. And be good, everybody. Stay warm. Just kidding. Stay cool in Winnipeg. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Oh, my God. Shut it down. Let's go home.
Thanks for tuning in to Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast feed at winnipegsportstalk.com.